God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Less Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Less Visible.
Aru! And greetings from Samarkand to Kalamazoo. The dog poet is hovering in the dog carrier above the Red Sea, thinking about some revolution. Yeah. I'm feeling much better now that I don't have that chronic cough that I got from the flu that I caught after the bladder infection, but before the hernia surfaced. There's nothing like a persistent cough when you have a hernia to put you in a state of ironic reflection on the intentions of the cosmos. One of my readers wants me to talk about the things that keep him up at night, meaning the powers that be with all their guns and money, and not to mention their lawyers. Does this mean we're lying thousands of miles apart, he and I, staring off into the darkness of our own unknowing and thinking we have something we should be doing because somehow we think we're the ones doing it? Turn off your mind, relax, and float downstream. Here comes the waterfall. No, actually, he's in a different time zone, so that wouldn't be happening anyway. Moving right along. Well, we don't do anything. We're observers. Actually, there is something you can do or not do. Don't worry about it. Because that means God has less power because you are taking it away from him, her, by worrying. You can also get out of the way because we're blocking the sunlight and causing the people below us to have an irregular tanning result. You can also simply trust the one who holds the stars in the sky and moves the planets in their courses. I suggest that we can maintain that particular perspective until we can do that job, which means for the foreseeable future, which is not foreseeable in any case. If you want to know what the future holds, look at the level of your assumptions. That's the future coming, in which God discredits them in his own time and way, as we are led to the truth as it is beyond our personal dramas and demands upon it. Those who are in sync with the universe have no need to be insistent or demanding. The will of the one is unopposable, and that is where we all should be once we're able to put aside our fantasies about our own importance in respect of it. All of us have heard that life is a dream, and that is what it is in every sense of the word. We vary only by the degree of the depth of our involvement and belief in the dreamscape. Some are deeply asleep and dream only intermittently. Some of us are at relative levels of awakening, and those of us are in line for a greater degree of wakefulness by the moment. Those of us who are asleep are in line for whatever measures are necessary to wake us. We all have thin scarves over our eyes, depending on how many scarves there are. On that depends the degree of opacity that affects our seeing. Consonant with awakening comes immortality and the presence of divinity, as well as the divine intoxication that wells up in those drunk on the wine of God's love. I've felt this drunkenness a time or two, and I pray for it most nights. It's the most remarkable thing. There's nothing like it, and its only similarity to ordinary drunkenness is in the term. The wine of Bacchus is supposed to be this, or you can call him Dionysus, or Dionysus if you wish. I crave this wine as I would breath where I denied it. I've sought its facsimile in the pedestrian brews of the world, but they're no match for it. Once tasted, the memory never leaves. I hope it will choose to come to me with greater consistency. I like to think of having it on tap. We can access it once our false self has been dissolved, and we're given rare visits to show that it awaits. Invisible Origami today, I spoke about an astrologer who got heavy-handed with me for not following guidelines I was unaware I'd signed a contract for. It's funny how people outside of us can presume to know more about us than we do ourselves. Sometimes it's true. There are those rare creatures among us who can see into the secret chambers of our hearts and minds, but they're rare. This astrologer seemed to think that I was in danger of demonic possession. The fact is that I am already possessed and have been for many years. It would take an awesomely powerful entity to evict the one who orders my life. I don't live in fear of this sort of thing. I don't worry about it. I don't experience confusion very often. The presence of the one who orders my life displaces these conditions and conceits. I haven't done the best job of it, in my estimation, but I've been at it for most of my life. Stands to reason that I would have made some progress in the direction of my intention. We're also in a time of pronounced acceleration where even a little effort reaps significant dividends. Occasional inconsistency is one of my failings, and I have to say that if I can make the sort of progress that I'm making, then many of you can expect similar or better results if you take the trouble. Our biggest problem is in getting started, and after that, in being regular in our visitations. You have to first believe the divine is there. As you apply yourself, you find that you know the divine is there, and more completely and more fully with the passing of each day. It's progressive. It's cumulative. On Maui, there's this volcano called Haleakala. The highway rises gradually as you make your way to the summit. The closer you get, the steeper it becomes. Anyway, between the point where you turn off on the road to Paia and before you get to Pukalani, the grade is gradual. You don't really feel like you're going uphill. But, and this happened to me many, many times, you look in the rearview mirror and you're amazed at how high up you've traveled without being aware of it. Steady as she goes, so to speak. All we have to do is be relatively consistent and our progress will surprise us at regular intervals. Like you, perhaps, I'm always thinking about my shortcomings and how they retard me, and I judge myself according to them. I fail to see how their effect has lessened over time. I fail to see my improvements in various areas that I'm not focusing on because I'm too aware of these things, the ones that are holding me back. I realize now that the ballast in my hot air balloon is there for a reason, and sometimes you can't get rid of these things when you want them gone. They will not be gone until the divine allows it. It's not something we accomplish by ourselves. A wise master once said to me, "You shouldn't polish the pot so hard that you break it." I can be pretty relentless in myself, not that it's done much good most of the time. I like to take an easier position with myself these days. These things will go when they're supposed to go. In the meantime, my job is to circumnavigate them and be aware of them to the extent that they don't interfere with my work. My job is also to be honest with myself and with you to the extent that I'm capable of it. When I'm not, as has been the case sometimes, I leave myself open to enemy incursion. I've had real problems with people who have wanted to do me harm for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's individuals and sometimes it's governments. There's not been a lot of it lately, but it lingers. And I try to be aware of it. I don't tend to do what people want me to do, and I only obey the laws that make sense to me. If they don't make sense to me, they are probably laws designed by corporations to protect and extend their field, the field of their interests, while suppressing my right to explore my own. As I've sought to be more honest with myself, I've found myself increasingly telepathic. I first became that way as a result of a major Kundalini event. During it, my personal self was washed away, and my personal mind was revealed to me as an illusion. More and more, I'm able to live in the one mind as if it were my mind. Interestingly, this has made it possible to see what passes in the minds of my enemies and friends concerning me. I know someone who thinks of himself as a larger part of my life than he is. In terms of time spent in my life, given that I've known him for decades, he hasn't been in it that much at all. He's filled with petty grievances concerning me because he thinks I don't allocate enough importance to him. This makes him a pain in the butt. He says negative things about me whenever he has the opportunity. I know because I can hear him in my head. Now, he doesn't know that I know this because he keeps it down in any public manner where I might hear about it. This person pretends to think highly of me when I know that he does not. He feels that more value should be accorded to him in relation to me. I'm not responsible for reducing his importance, nor do I ever make an effort in that respect. He's one of a number of people who want what I have, but haven't been inclined to do the work. Now, I'm big on hero worship. I have a lot of them. I'm not envious of those I admire. I'm glad they're around. It does make me vulnerable, though, because I don't expect certain things to come at me. It's not like there's a wealth of negative events to draw on in my past. Well, maybe there is. I don't know. Anyway, accepting the occasional wild and crazy wailing in the night of our shared darkness here in this material age. It's hard to tell if some of my behavior was even bad. It was mostly disturbing the peace, sort of. But it's not peace I'm disturbing. Anyway, the more I step aside and forget that there is a me and lose myself in whatever it is that I'm employed at, the more I can pick up radio transmissions from all over the place. I don't feel like I'm meant to confront people over their false face when it's turned toward me. The universe handles that. But we should all be mindful that we're not nearly so secret in our plots and our conversations as we think we are. If you want more from the universe, you have to put more into it. That's just how it is. You cannot coast along in the mind's imaginary triumphs that are no more than the mind fabricating things that never happened on behalf of the ego. When we truly shine, the ego is only indirectly lit, and only lit because it's stepped off stage, so the true performer can operate without the interference of a lead-footed dolt that has no sense of timing. If we would only let ourselves go, then only the lasting and important portions of ourself would remain. We want the credit, but we don't want the sacrifice that is required. Letting go of our pathetic sense of self-importance is the first step on the road to true recognition and saves us from confusing notoriety with fame. It's the divine's opinion of us that counts, not anyone else's, and it is the divine and everyone else that sees the divine in us when we allow it to do what only it is qualified to do. We have infinite possibility before us all the time. The road to perfect understanding and lasting triumph opens at our feet every morning when our feet hit the floor as we rise from one dream and set off into the other. We seek heaven and never seem to realize that heaven begins where our feet touch the earth. We hear that we are children of God, but we don't go through our days claiming that station and behaving as one worthy of the name. Winning God's favor, having God name you as his friend, there is no higher honor. I admit I was a little miffed that Hefner didn't invite me to his last party, but also grateful that I don't now have a respiratory illness to show for it. I suppose the worst thing a woman can wish for is to look like a blow-up doll. Yet men fall all over themselves seeking the attention of people who can't even carry on a conversation. 5 minutes into your brilliant exchange, you're looking for the pull string to see if there are any good one-liners left. God lives in us to the extent that we permit it. Only to that degree can God function through us. Someone has to move out of the way for the other to act, and this choosing goes on all through the day and all through a life. In most lives, it gets sorted early. God goes to the back of the bus, and we drive down the boulevard of broken dreams, waving at the crowd that appears to be looking at us but doesn't even see us at all. We're back to doing the foxtrot in the Overlook Hotel. Vanity is a curse, but we wear it like a coat made of animal skins, and it requires an animal mask. Guru Bawa used to say that all the animals come to the watering hole. Some kind of a truce exists there. As each one looks into the water, they see whatever animal they are looking back at them. This is who we think God is. We adapt divinity to the purposes of our self-interest instead of realizing that our greatest self-interest is served by adapting ourselves to divinity. This is why God often picks the unlettered and the simple to make his, her points. The smarter you are and the more knowledge you possess, the more difficult it is to find and express divinity. Become simple. Become nice. Learn the art of giving way and observe the effect it has on others. You don't miss the chance to make your point and showcase your importance by putting all your attention on the person you're with. No. In fact, you're demonstrating it in the most conclusive way of all. This is why service is the highest form of self-expression. When you lose yourself in service, God finds you in his or her employ. I tell myself that God is my employer. I work for God. God houses, feeds, and sees to my needs. I came upon this through extremity, and I gave it a shot. It works. You'll be tested on it, of course, but you just motor on. You may find yourself on the highway, and you may miss a few meals, but you will find yourself. And you not only won't miss anything, you'll be exposed to an entire world of things you had no idea even existed and which you were missing all along. One's life is a failure when one does not determine that they will find their author and devotes their full attention to that end. Anything you think you may want, all of it, can only be appreciated or gained in its fullness through the one who made it all. How difficult it is to understand this. In self-importance, go stand next to a mountain. Observe the night sky. Everyone would profit from reading Ecclesiastes. It nails the heart of the matter. We are only important to the degree that we make God important. Our love is only effective to the degree that we love God, because God authenticates and amplifies our love. Oh Lord, let that great love awaken in my heart, that it might rule, inspire, and motivate my every thought, word, and deed. The great Indian poet Tagore once said, God respects me when I work, but he loves me when I sing. So let your life sing. Don't worry about publicizing it. God is your press agent. God is your whole entourage. Don't worry about looking like a fool. You already do. Climb those metaphorical cliffs and look down at that foaming metaphorical ocean and just throw yourself in. You don't have to be a doormat. Say what you mean and say it from the heart. Don't be afraid to admit you're wrong or to say you're sorry. Gratefully and publicly, and credit where credit is due, and that ain't you. True humility comes from an awareness of what is truly great. And be grateful. Bless your food. You're partaking of the living God and making it part of you. One day something very surprising will take place. Your investment will pay off. You must have faith, certitude, and determination. And while there's life, there is promise. There is hope. Do it. What's the worst that can happen? You don't wind up like everybody else? Anyway, we've come to the end of yet another radio show, which means I get to say I'll see you again next week, if there is one. And, man, I just want to see all of your lives change for the better, okay? And mine can't until it does for all of us. And that is not just something I'm saying. It happens to be true. But not entirely, okay? Because that might depress me a little. Anyway, that said, aloha and haru!
You can see him in the morning when the sun is...
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.